to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, February 10th, 2019, by Rhonda Johnson.
Have you ever experienced some coming full circle? Have you ever asked yourself the question, how did I get here? In preparing for the sermon today, it dawned on me that I had come full circle. Shortly after I moved to Michigan to assume a position at Comanus Cancer Foundation, I visited St. Philip's Church. If someone told me, Rhonda, one day you will be preaching at St. Philip's, I would have responded, what are you smoking? At that time, I was fully engaged in a satisfying career as a professional fundraiser, and to borrow a word Jesus used in our gospel today, I was out catching donors for the purpose of building man's institutions and not catching people for the purpose of building God's institution, the church. So I have come full circle, and I am at St. Philip's again. Only I have a new calling to do as Jesus said, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. Because Jesus caught me, I have answered his call to follow him in mission to catch people. The decision has provided me a new purpose, a new passion, and forever transformed my life. Each of the Gospels, in its own way, tells how Jesus called his disciples. Luke's story of the disciples' calling is unique, and it is the only Gospel that tells the story of the miraculous catch of fish. Early in Jesus' ministry, he established Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee as his home. It was a very familiar sight as he walked the shores of that inland sea. In Luke's gospel, we know that this is not Simon Peter's first encounter with Jesus, as Jesus had already been to his home and healed his mother-in-law. Perhaps that helps explain Peter's willingness, without question, to let Jesus use his fishing boat as a floating pulpit. However, when Jesus told Peter to put out into the deep water and let down your nets, Peter's response was not exactly warm and fuzzy, as we can almost hear the exasperation in his voice when he responds, Master, we worked all night and we've caught nothing. Peter continues, yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets. Then the nets became so full of fish, they began to break and the boats began to sink. Seeing what was happening, Peter is overwhelmed with fear and awe, sensing that he is in the presence of a divine power. And he responds by falling down at Jesus' knees and begging him, go away from me, for I am a sinful man. Amazed by the power of God displayed in the abundant catch of fish, Peter is immediately overcome with feelings of unworthiness, even though he and his others have just caught the greatest, largest catch of their fishing careers. So Peter, James, and John were career fishermen, but we know little else about them. Were they happy? Were they successful in their trade? Were they in debt? Did they have a good family and good standing in the religious community? We have no idea, but here's what we do know. Something happened in that encounter with Jesus. It was like their souls had been primed for something more, something different, something new. whatever they heard and experienced, Jesus was so compelling that when they brought their boats ashore, they literally dropped everything and followed him. And on top of that, Jesus did not even tell them where they were going. What is so compelling is not Peter's confession that he is a sinful man. It is not about Peter being exposed by Jesus as sinful. It is simply about being caught or found by Jesus, called by Jesus, and loved by Jesus. These three fishermen are not hearing Jesus say, when they get their act cleaned up, when they get their boats in order, get their spiritual disciplines well honed, or change their fish stinking clothes, then he will have time for them. There is no pre-existing condition that you must satisfy Jesus will call you, love you, and make plans for you. Jesus comes to you like these simple fishermen, and what Jesus finds in you, he adores. You need not change to be loved by Jesus, but by being loved by Jesus, you will change. In Jesus' day, this amazing news perked people's ears, changed their minds, and broke open their hearts, and they followed him in droves. I can somewhat relate to Peter's experience by being caught by Jesus and how that experience reoriented his life forever. For me, it began as a gnawing feeling that I was primed for something more, something new in service to the church. It was very subtle and obscure, but very persistent. I tried to ignore it, but I never succeeded to do so permanently. I think down deep, I felt as Peter did, not good enough, not holy enough, and not young enough. I was afraid. Finally, after encouragement by others, I realized that I had to step out into the deep waters or forever regret that I did not do so. I really felt compelled to do as Peter was asked to do by Jesus, let down my net into the water, the very deep water. I had to do my part so God could do his. So I stepped out in faith and responded to that inner voice and entered the process for discerning a possible call to ordained ministry in the church. So let me ask, how often do you resist Jesus' claim on you because what he is calling you to do just seems too crazy or too impractical? Do you feel not good enough or spiritual enough, or that your time has passed? At times, these same feelings surface, especially when I am overwhelmed with the demands of seminary education. There is a mantra of the first-year seminarians that's commonly known as, "Here I am, Lord, please call somebody else." Feeling inadequate to a calling from God was not uncommon in the Bible. For example, before Isaiah responded, "Here I am," he expressed his profound sense of unworthiness with the cry, "I'm a man of unclean lips." Moses' excuses included not knowing enough, not having credibility, and not being a good speaker. Jeremiah responded by saying, "Truly, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy." And as I noted earlier, Peter responded, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." No call is higher than another. A calling is portrayed sometimes as a summons from God to a higher office, such as that of a priest or a deacon or a monk. However sacred, these calls are not superior to a call to any lay ministry in the church or to the call of an architect to create plans for a home, or a mechanic to fix an engine, or a nurse to care for the sick. It is our faithfulness to God and our station in life that honors a call. I'm reminded of Frederick Buechner, a Presbyterian theologian, when he said, "The place where God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." James Hillman, a Jungian psychologist, in his book, The Soul's Code in Search of Character and Calling, offers a solution to the dilemma of understanding a human life with its acorn theory. According to Hillman, each of us enters the world something like an acorn, with the seed of a calling, with a sense of destiny, with a sense of identity. He says beyond nurture and nature, there exists this third force, this acorn imprint that carries in seed form our habits and our mannerisms, our loves, our hates, our preferences, and our passions. Hillman says that it is the growing of an acorn into a full-grown oak tree that gives life meaning and purpose, a sense of personal calling, a reason to live. You may have glimpsed your identity or a calling when you were a child, but avoided it, or denied it, or ran from it. In Jesus' words, you may have put the light of your calling under a bushel basket and been too afraid to drop your net into the deep waters and go fishing with Jesus. A calling does not happen once and for all at a fixed date. You may have several callings in your life, as we are all living longer thanks to modern science and technology. The realization of a calling is not a blinding flash, but a point at which it all makes sense, and we realize that we have been where we have been headed all along. The pieces of the puzzle start coming together. So what about you at this stage of your life? All your life you have been getting ready for now. It's about that acorn seeded into your soul from the beginning. Perhaps you experienced Jesus calling you or nudging you to something more, to something new, and you're overwhelmed. Now is the time. Why not? Why wait? You are not to wait until you think you are ready, because Jesus is ready for you just as you are. Jesus is behind this new dawning and will provide you the light and the provision you need on the path ahead. If you don't know where God is calling you, I encourage you to find out by asking God. You may find out that you're already doing it. Roran Williams, former Archbishop of Canterbury, says, "To talk about your God as your creator means to recognize at each moment that it is his desire for you to be. And so, his desire is for you to be there as the person you are. It means that he is calling you by name at each and every moment, wanting you to be you." Jesus' words to Peter are also words to you. Do not be afraid. Jesus is the source of your strength and constantly works with and through you in the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet.